believers. I'm not happy right now. I'm actually kind of angry. Sad, but I'm angry. So what I want to talk about, I'm just coming back from practice. I had a really amazing practice. Today was a vindication for my choice to follow music and be a musician and be in a band and write songs and all that kind of stuff. But I really get taken back yesterday by the news of Leonard Cohen's death. Now, many of you may not know that he is an influence on me. He's a huge influence on me, probably more than most people realize. The only person that probably knows about the importance of Leonard Cohen to me is probably my old writing partner, Dan. We were in a band called Salty Bear ages ago. We were both greatly influenced by Leonard Cohen, and he's gone. Now, I don't want to break into any stupid, silly thing about how it's unfair. We lost another great one. I don't want to get into any of that bullshit. Because, I mean, the guy was 82 years old. Sorry, I'm just going to adjust the volume level here. Hello. There, that's good. So, he was 82. He lived a full life. Fuller than most. He did so many things. He did everything he had set out to do. He was a novelist. He was a poet. He's won every award you can think of. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, he lived a full life. The anger that I have is I have not listened to Leonard Cohen in a long time. I used to listen to him extensively. A lot. So I'm going to explain this anger thing. I hope you guys understand. And this podcast here is a little personal. So if you're not into hearing about Sean's personal life, then just turn off right now. If you want some in-depth, then this is the one to listen to. So I discovered Leonard Cohen thanks to someone I was seeing back at the time. I really expanded upon what I listened to with Leonard Cohen, but I discovered Leonard Cohen through the movie Pump Up the Volume. When that movie came out, that movie spoke to me in ways that I've never been able to fully describe. There was one song in that movie called If It Be Your Will that plays in a scene in the movie after, not to give spoilers, but there's a very sad part of that movie. And to express the sadness, he grabs one of his dad's LPs, which are basically a record, puts it on, cues it to that song, and puts that song on. First time I saw that movie and that scene came on, I was floored. What the hell is this? This song so perfectly encapsulated that sadness he was feeling. That utter sense of helplessness that he was feeling. And I can identify with that feeling of helplessness. Well, a lot of people don't know this, but I have been a sufferer of depression, like many other people out there. I just don't really talk about it because it's been my own inner battle, and I have found the way to combat it and get past it and move past it. And it comes from a place of strength for me now, which it didn't back in those days. So when I heard that song in that movie, in that scene, everything gelled together, and that sense, that feeling that song evoked in that movie at that time encapsulated everything I felt about everything. It's crazy. So I went back, tried to find who this person was. You know, bought the movie, you know, paused the movie, tried to see, well, who is this? Okay, this is L. Cohen. Who's L. Cohen? I don't know who this guy is. And then later find out that the theme to the movie, the Concrete Blonde cover, was Everybody Knows, which was, of course, another Leonard Cohen song that Concrete Blonde did a pretty darn good cover of. And I just kind of backtracked from there. And I went out and bought Leonard Cohen Greatest Hits, Volume 1. Took a listen to it, and wow. My mind just blew open. And I found someone who wrote words the way I wanted to write words. He wrote poetry the way I wanted to write poetry, and he encapsulated in his writing exactly how I felt, which was depressed and helpless. So I kind of went into a really dark place, I guess. I started, through his music, I started going down all these other avenues to find out more about who I was and what was wrong with me. I started reading books. Now, just to take a step back, I had read Catcher in the Rye, I guess just before this. I can't remember, grade 11, grade 12 or something like that. It was actually a book assignment for English class. And I read that book and I was like, wow, I was really floored. But I thought it was a book that existed and there was nothing else like it and there was never anything else since that would come out. But that song, that movie reminded me of who I really was. Someone with a voice who was afraid to speak, which was really the theme of Pump Up the Volume. And then the song, and then I went back and I started reading Bret Easton Ellis. I discovered Less Than Zero. And then I discovered Jay McKierney, and I kind of went down a rabbit hole of depressive writers, depressive poetry, and really, I really started delving into Leonard Cohen. I started buying more of his work and like really just going through his lyrics. And I'm not a lyric guy too much, but with Leonard Cohen, I mean, you have to be. I mean, the songs are the songs, but it's really about the words. And I really started getting into Leonard Cohen, reading a lot of Leonard Cohen, listening to a lot of Leonard Cohen, and emulating that whole dystopian sense of self that he evoked. And I was in a pretty severe tailspin at that time. I wrote my first quote-unquote serious book. I wrote a work of fiction, and it encapsulated everything that Leonard Cohen represented, everything that Pump Up the Volume represented to me, everything what Jay McKierney represented to me, and everything that how I felt. And that book that I wrote was about just being so effing lost and just following things, just following and following and being an observer and just not really existing, just observing the world from a distance and being led places. And now it that whole state of mind I was in for that stretch of time, which was a long stretch of time, all the songs I wrote were evoking that. And the books I was writing, when I was writing my novel, it really crushed me. I had a, I don't know if I want to call it a nervous breakdown, but I lost it. The process of writing the book was incredibly painful, incredibly personal, and I totally got lost in the writing of it. Anyway, a long story, and I don't know if I want to cover that here, but Leonard Cohen, huge influence. I mean, If you can point out some songs that I just, you just say the one line from the song and I can hear the whole song beginning to front my head. Salty Bear, the band I was my first band, we did a cover, which we somehow never recorded, of one of his songs. And that Greatest Hits, like, really carried me through. I listened to that thing to death. I had it on cassette, broke, the cassette died, I bought the CD. I think I bought my second version of the CD. And from there I expanded and bought the catalog. Now, a lot of people connect, when they connect to his work, they connect to Hallelujah, which is a very good song, and is one of the most covered songs of all time, covered by everybody and their dog. But I mean, he's had a lot of songs that have been covered, and I'm not going to cover that here. I don't think that's the point. I think the point is, when someone writes words that are so truthful and raw, but eloquent like that, you can't help but connect to it. And every artist that took his songs and recorded them felt a connection with the genius of that writing. That writing is so genius. And the depressiveness, I don't even know if that's a word, but the depression within those words, it's so identifiable to so many of us that are that way. Huge influence on my songwriting, on my lyricism. Many of the songs I wrote in Salty Bear were taken from there. And to this day, the songs that I write with Dome, I'm always trying to do something with the lyric to have it be a little more intelligent. And not just writing words that rhyme, but writing words that mean something, and that means something on so many levels. When you read a Leonard Cohen lyric, it can be open to interpretation. It can be a direct reference to something that happened to him, but it can be a direct reference to something that happened to me. It can be a direct reference to something that happened to someone an ocean away from me. It can be a direct reference to so many things. And the way he wrote his words, he was so picky with the words he chose that they're able to elicit reactions across many different countries and regions. And he was able to impact a lot of different people with one lyric, just one word, or sorry, one line. Like, nobody does stuff like that. I mean, you know, a lot of people talk about Bob Dylan and his impact, and I won't deny it. He's a very good lyricist, and he wrote some really compelling songs, but there was a difference to Leonard. Leonard Cohen, to me, wrote about me. And I thought Bob Dylan was an amazing writer, but he didn't write for me. If that makes any sense. So, Who by Fire, one of his songs, which I don't even know if it's a hit, but it was on his Greatest Hits Volume 1. And I honestly can't remember the other album it's from, because for me, it's in sequence on his Greatest Hits in my head. I put it on so many mixes. And it was basically one of the soundtrack songs to the novel I wrote. Famous Blue Raincoat. Oh my God. Oh my God. Just the imagery evoked from that song. Even though Famous Blue Raincoat sounds like a throwaway line, when you hear it in the context of everything else, like all the rest of the words of that song, it just has so much punch, just punches you in the gut. So where does this anger come from? I was in that lost place for a long time, and it took a lot to get out of that lost place. Basically, I
went as far deep as I could go into it. I crawled into that hole that was depression. Just crawled right in there, as far deep down as I could go. And my blanket in that hole was Leonard Cohen. Kept me in that hole. I felt a sense of comfort in that pain and that loneliness and that despair. And he was like an anchor that just kept me in that hole and didn't let me escape. It wasn't until I started feeling moments of happiness, real unbridled happiness, and I'll thank Dan for that. It was the first moments of happiness came because of Dan, my partner in Salty Bear. He had an ability to laugh that was so pure. He taught me how to laugh, how to really laugh. Not, you know, I'm laughing at a joke, ha ha ha, it's very funny. But to laugh from the bottoms of your toes, as he used to say. And he taught me how to laugh, and it was little moments like that that helped me, you know, start crawling out of that hole I was in. And moving on past that last part of my life that I'm not going to go into detail because this isn't a confessional or anything. But the people I was surrounded with, there was some... The good people that surrounded me were good. And that's not the people I'm talking about. But there was another group of people that I was keeping close to me to keep me in that hole. And when I let go of all those people and when I didn't hold on to them anymore and I started being happy, those people all went away. That whole group. The whole group that I thought had saved me. Once I started being actually happy, they all went away. It's funny. Nobody wants to be around someone who's happy. Except for good people. So I got out of that hole. And the music that I listened to during that time, all through Leonard Cohen, every mix I made was centered around a Leonard Cohen song. All that depression, the books I wrote were centered around a Leonard Cohen song or a string of Leonard Cohen songs. The music I wrote was centered around Leonard Cohen types of lyrics. Let all that go. And said goodbye to Leonard. Leonard Cohen later became popular. He was popular amongst the people like me. But then he became mainstream popular. Eventually, he became a mainstream artist, and he actually started making money off of his career, which is ridiculous. He should have been making money a long time ago. And he became a mainstream artist in and around the time that he put an album out called The Future. And he was nominated for this award, that award, Grammys, Junos, of course, on the Canadian side of things. He was getting nominated for everything, and he was just super popular. Then he became popular with old, you know, the older folks. They liked his, unsteady, scratchy voice. Kind of like Tom Waits has kind of went mainstream. Tom Waits never went mainstream. The mainstream came to him. The mainstream came to Leonard Cohen. I don't think Leonard Cohen changed. But when he became the mainstream artist and I was becoming happier, we parted ways. And yeah, I like Leonard Cohen. If I hear it on the radio, I won't turn it off. You know, not that I'd hear it on the radio, but I might pop up like on a university station or something, and I would listen. So today, what I did some yard work. I was reflecting, like, wow, he died. I haven't listened to him so long. I really loved Leonard Cohen. So I popped on my Google Play account, put it on, put a Leonard Cohen mix, and listened to it. And wow, everything came back. Those feelings I had, sadness, all that stuff came back. And I'm like, wow, there's that old warm blanket I used to know. Then I get angry. I don't want to feel this way. You know, it took me back. There was photographs popping up in my mind as I was listening to him, remembering this incident here with this one person and where I was at that place and, you know, the time that, you know, I hadn't eaten for a couple of days because I just didn't have any money or, you know, all those really low moments, these low signposts from my past. Just all those photographs start popping up and going, wow, I'm not that person anymore. I'm not that person anymore. I don't want to be this person anymore. So I was able to just look at what I was and who I'd become from that time, who Leonard Cohen meant to me back then, and what he means to me now. And I realized, I don't need you, Leonard. I don't need you at all. You're a great artist, you wrote some great music, I agree. But your music doesn't hit me like it used to, because I'm not that person anymore, and I'm kind of done with feeling that way. And I don't need that warm blanket anymore, because I got sunshine now, man. I'm a happy dude, very happy dude. And I don't need someone to drink with and be miserable. I don't need a partner in despair. So, I'm very sad that you passed, my friend. We were very close buddies, even though we never met face to face. I felt like I knew you. I felt like you were my brother in some ways. But fuck you, man. God bless. You seem to have found some happiness in the end, and I'm really happy for you. You did really good, and you managed to get out of that hole you were out of. And you know what? I think you probably did some good music that I haven't listened to. But I don't think I'm going back to that old place that you used to be in. Maybe I'll give your new stuff a listen. But the old Leonard? No, not going to have any of it. I think we're done. I think we moved past that place. I don't think I can pull anything from that anymore. I don't think I need to. So, I love you, Leonard. But God bless, man. I know this is kind of looking at both sides of a spectrum here that doesn't really make any perfect logical sense, but we're done, man. You and I are done. I think I might give your later part of your collection a listen. And maybe embrace the other side of you that actually got it out of that hole like I did. Because I think you did get out of the hole. I think you were pretty happy in the end. I think you finally found yourself like I did. So maybe it is time. You know what? No, I'm not going to say screw you. I'm going to say congratulations, good luck on finding your place. You lived a full, amazing life. You wrote an amazing body of work, which I'm going to experience the latter part of it now. And see if we both moved on. And yes, I still follow the tenets of your intelligent writing, and I still try to emulate that as much as I can. And thanks for everything you gave to me. Goodbye to the old Leonard. Hello to the new Leonard. God bless, Godspeed. I hope you're resting in peace, my friend. You lived a long time with all that pain and all that stuff that we both shared. I know you're in a better place. I know you're happy. I know you're doing awesome. And peace, love, and hugs. I hope your family's good. I hope they're doing okay. But I think in the end, you lived a full life. You gave so much to us. And I'll meet you on the other side, man. Maybe you and I can have a drink on that other side and talk about who we were and who we became. So I want to say peace out. Sorry for being so deep, but sometimes we just got to go there, man. Talk to you guys next time on the next podcast.